And Jesus here is talking about how, well, there's the two claims where he says, I am the door of the gate. But he also says, I am the good shepherd. Now, as I said, we're going to look at I am the good shepherd next Sunday. We're going to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate or the door, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens a gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. May God indeed challenge us and encourage us through his living word for his glory. Amen. Let's just ask God's blessing as we come to his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the Lord Jesus, that he is the way into your presence. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you would just help us to focus our minds, to think clearly, to hear your voice, to hear your word. And Lord, that you might indeed convict us, that we might indeed know that relationship with Jesus. So Father, just help us this morning. Lord, may the words we hear be your words of challenge, but your words of comfort. Your words of assurance and inspiration. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. There's the story of a man who died and went up to heaven. And as he stood at the gates of heaven, Peter stopped him and said, before you come in, tell me one good thing that you have done in your life. And the man paused for a moment and then responded, I saw a group of young hoodlums harassing an elderly woman. So I stopped and I told the leader to stop it. And Peter asked, when did this happen? And the man replied, about 40 seconds ago. Now that's a joke. It's pretty meaningless and empty. But you know, it reinforces the truth that so often in our world, and even within our Christian communities, people think that, well, in order to get to heaven, that we need to do something. We need to earn our way into heaven. We've got to do something that shows that we're good enough. But you know, that's completely false. Yet it's still something that's so prevalent within even Christians. And Jesus boldly confronts this in his claim. In his claim that I am the door. Remember the context of this chapter. Back in chapter 9, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, Jesus had healed a blind man. A man who was born blind. Yet, Jesus was rejected by the Pharisees. And the man was rejected. And he was excluded from the Jewish community, the synagogue. But Jesus challenges him. Verse 35 of chapter 9. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he had found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. For this blind man, he had encountered Jesus and he had seen the truth. His eyes were opened. He could see physically, but he could also see spiritually. But yet, the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders of Israel, still couldn't believe. And this is where chapter 10 takes up. This is where our passage takes up. Jesus actually speaks to the Pharisees and challenges them in quite an abrasive way. He talks about how there are the thieves and the robbers who have seek to enter in and seek to steal the sheep. Jesus is making the point that these Pharisees are exactly what he's talking about. These people who don't have any legitimate claim. These are the false shepherds that God was condemning back in the time of Jeremiah, as we read at the beginning of our service. So, in verse 7, Jesus repeats almost exactly the same words that he used in the first verse, because the people, the Pharisees, didn't understand what Jesus was saying. I don't want you to concentrate on it. Just look at the colours. It's almost identical. The yellow, the amen, lego hoon. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you. And then talks about the door, the tes puras, ton probaton, the door of the sheep, the gate. But in the second, in verse 7, again, as we saw last week, last couple of weeks, when Jesus makes the claim clearly, he actually emphasizes it by saying, I am. Ego, I am. He's emphasizing the truth that he is. He is the door. He is the gate. Jesus is the one who is the legitimate, the true entrance. The door allows those who have the right to enter in comparison to those like the robbers and the thieves. who try to break in, who try to steal, who try to take what isn't theirs. So what is Jesus telling us when he says, I am the door? Well, the door is a symbol of identity. At the time of Jesus, during the evening, the shepherds would bring down their sheep from the hills, and to protect them at night, they would put them into a stone enclosure. Just something like this. This is actually a sheep pen from Scotland. And you can see how it's a circle of stones built up about 5 foot. On the top is jagged stones. But in Israel, what they used to use was thorns as well. It was to keep those who would threaten the sheep out. Whether that was mountain lions, whether it was other predators, the idea was to keep the sheep safe. And the doorway was just an opening. There was no barrier there. But the doorway was about 2 foot wide. And the shepherd actually slept in the doorway, across the doorway, at night. So he was the one who regulated, who allowed those to come in and to go out. He protected the sheep that were in the sheep pen. That's what Jesus says. Literally, I am the door. I am the gate. It's he himself that is the gate. And it's a powerful statement, actually, of who Jesus claims that he is and what he does. He is the one who guards, who protects his sheep. By him, people can enter and be safe. And in a real sense, it's quite a claim that Jesus makes. That he is the only door, the only gate, the only way in. You know, we live in a world where people say, it's a case that all religions are the same, lead the same way. They lead to heaven. All religions lead to God. Yet, Jesus is boldly makes the statement, I am the door. No one else. You know, that's something that we've all got to be challenged by. That salvation is found in Jesus alone. There is no other way. You know, so often people look, they're desperate for something that will give them peace in their lives. Something that will give them certainty. Yet it's only when we see Jesus, only when we focus on who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for us, that he is the way. You know, in the Pilgrim's Progress, I don't know if anybody's read Pilgrim's Progress, but in this book, there's a point where Christian, main character, is coming out of the city of destruction in the beginning. He has a burden on his back and he meets the evangelist who explains to him something about his situation. Evangelist says to him, do you see the gate? You make for it. Head for the wicket gate. And there you will see the cross. You know, it's as we see, look to Jesus, as we see the cross, that we see the way to salvation. Because it's not through good works, it's not being by being good enough that we get to heaven. But it's only through Jesus. Because the door is a symbol of access. It's a symbol of the way through. Jesus says, if anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. It's as we come through Jesus, as we come through faith in him, that we have access, we have entry into God's family, into God's presence. Jesus says, I am the door. He is the door to his Father's family, to his Father's house. He's a door into the safety and the security of belonging. Of belonging as one of God's people. You know, when you think about it, it's so simple, so clear. This image that Jesus is using of the door. By coming through this door, we come into God's family. We come into God's kingdom. There is no other way. And the glory, or the truth of this, is that this door is not closed or locked. As quoted earlier, Jesus makes the point in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. He says, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. So if we acknowledge our sin and we come to him, Jesus says these words, verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. And then with me, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. You know, Jesus makes the point here that through him, we have access. We have access into God's presence. Jesus is saying that if he's the door, then we have salvation. You know, it's the same point that Jesus makes in the Sermon on the Mount. But he talks about, again, a narrow gate. Remember how Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's in Jesus that we have that. That he is the way, he is the gate. The door is also a symbol. I had a quote there from Martin Lloyd-Jones. When he's talking about that passage from Matthew, he talks about the straight gate, the straight, narrow path, and the gate. He says, I like to think of it as a turnstile. It is just like a turnstile that admits one person at a time and no more. And it is so narrow, and there are certain things which you simply cannot take through with you. It is exclusive from the very beginning. It's only in Jesus that we can come. It's a door of, the door is a symbol of security and promise. In verse 10, Jesus, as the NIV translates it, says that he promises to give us life to the full. Again, don't worry about the Greek at the top. But that word,
the periphal, which means more abundantly, or actually means exceedingly abundantly, supremely, beyond measure. It cannot be estimated. We cannot sort of lay hold on its extent or its dimensions. That's what Jesus is saying. That the life that he promises knows no bounds. It is an abundant life. And that word abundant actually comes from the Latin word, which means overflowing. It's like the waves lapping on the seashore. It's constant. Nothing can keep it back. It's overflowing. That's how Jesus pictures or helps us to see what true life is. The life that Jesus offers us is for each day. It's a life that overflows from a surplus of confidence in God, that God is equal to every situation in life, and that he does supply all our genuine needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The abundant life is the life of the believer who finds hope in Jesus as his Saviour. You know, our world at the moment is filled with fear and panic, a sense of impending gloom and doom. Whether that's in our sort of current affairs, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's in our financial world, whether it's in relationships, relationships between countries, relationships between different groups of people. There's this sense of fear, this sense of struggling to cope. How do we cope? Yet the truth is that if we trust in Jesus, we can have that freedom, that certainty. Certainty that no matter what, that Jesus keeps us secure, that we have the hope and assurance of eternal life in him. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul puts it quite powerfully. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. That's the answer. We are secure. But finally, just quickly to mention that the door is also a symbol of division. When the door is closed, we don't know what's on the other side, that there's no way into it. Yet, when Jesus uses this image, remember in John chapter 14, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus makes the point that without him, without going through him, that there is no entrance into God's presence. As I said earlier, so often in our world and even within our churches, there's people who say, "Oh, we're all on the same path. All roads lead to heaven. All religions are the same." Yet Jesus makes it quite plain that this is not true. He is the only way. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the parable of the wedding banquet, where the virgins are invited to the wedding banquet, but some of them weren't prepared, and they went out to do their last minute preparations. But when they came back, they found that the doors were shut. It was too late.
Just verse 11. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied to the bridegroom, replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." In verse 13, Jesus says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You know, the challenge for each one of us today is, do we know Jesus as the way, the gate, the means of coming to God as our Heavenly Father, the way of forgiveness? What matters supremely, what matters more than anything else in your life, is whether you are in that relationship with Jesus. What side of the door are you on? Do you know Jesus? Do you know his salvation? Can we say with the psalmist, this is from Psalm 118, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answer me. You have become my salvation." You know, today, the door is open. Today is your opportunity, is my opportunity. It's the opportunity for all who hear the gospel. Do you know Jesus? Have you entered into God's family, to God's kingdom, through him and only him? If I was to ask you, are you good enough to get to heaven? What have you done to get to heaven? I hope that for each one of us that we know the truth, that we're not good enough, that we've done nothing to deserve to get into heaven. That it's only through Jesus, through his sacrifice for us, that we have that certainty, that right, that assurance in him to be called the children of God, to know that our destiny is with God himself in heaven, in his kingdom. Pray for each one of us this morning that we take that opportunity. As it says in Scripture, today is a day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts, as you did in Meribah. Do not harden your hearts. May you know that the Lord Jesus is the door, the gate, the way. Amen.